Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
And I'm Phil.
And I'm John.
And I'm Adam.
And welcome to bonus episode number 15. This is the Phil Praise episode.
Oh, Phil!
We have been so mean to Phil for 60 episodes.
Mean and accurate, though.
That, well, here's the thing. I'm worried.
Mean and accurate is still mean.
I'm worried that the karma's catching up with me. So to offset all the things we said about Phil, we are going to have an episode where we are going to be nice to Phil. Now, if this is your first time tuning into Fear the Boot, these bonus episodes are very different than our regular episodes. They're on weird topics. We just make them up as we go. We do not edit them. So if this is your first time at Fear the Boot, go listen to a regular episode first, then come back and listen to this episode, because this is really nothing like what we normally do. This is just us jacking around behind the mics. And
true. And trying to repair our souls for how much we've slandered this poor man.
Also, a real quick reminder that we have been nominated for an Any Award, and that we could still use your vote if you go out to anyawards.com. That's E-N-N-I-E, awards, A-W-A-R-D-S.com. And if you would vote for us there under the Best Podcast category, we would greatly appreciate your support. And also, they had an issue with the database. So if you voted real early on Monday, they tossed your vote out and reset the database. So if you voted early, you may want to go back and vote again just to make sure that your vote gets counted. I have a story today that happened to me that I want to repeat.
This is why you should listen to a regular episode first, because in the Phil Praise episode, time for a story that has nothing to do with Phil.
Phil, exactly. No. We're going to start off on a tangent. So today at lunch, I work with a guy named Christian, and Christian's like, hey, let's do lunch. So, okay, we hop in his truck and we go down to do lunch. And he says, like, I want to go to McDonald's because it's not very obviously healthy food, but I haven't been to McDonald's in like 2 years. I just have a strange hankering for a Big Mac. So let's go to McDonald's.
Do they still have the McRib?
Nope, not currently.
No, they do not. So we pull into McDonald's, and the place looks really busy on the outside just because of where it's located. If you're familiar with St. Louis, it's the one in Westport. A lot of businesses
around
there.
Oh, I go to that one when I'm drunk off my butt at my mud conventions. I love that one.
So we go inside. It's really not all that busy, but there's a fair number of people in there. So I go up to the counter, and the girl takes my order. I tell her, you know, I want this particular meal, this particular drink, and whatever. And she says, can I have a name for the order? And, you know, I look around. There's a fair number of people. So I'm like, okay, I guess they're going to fill it and then call my name. So I said, I say my name. I say Dan. So she goes over to the receipt that's laying on the tray and writes down Dan. So I think, okay, it's going to be a few minutes. So I turn around and start to walk away. Don't get but two steps away. She's grabbed the food, put it on the tray, and is looking around the store going, order for Dan, order for Dan.
Nice.
And I'm like, what the hell just happened here?
It's I think you don't appreciate the mindlessness of those jobs.
It's like a Monty Python skit. I mean, I had walked not but two steps away, and she's looking around the restaurant, calling this name.
We forget you exist before you even talk to us.
Like, she has no idea who I am.
Who are you?
I walk right back, pick up my food, and go to eat. All right, Phil.
Phil, what?
In conclusion, we love Phil.
Yeah.
See you next week. I don't know what to say.
Phil, tune in next time.
Thanks.
Phil, account for yourself and this McDonald's worker.
Phil.
Tune in next time for the Batman Praise episode.
Mm-hmm. Phil, can you go ahead and start us off with something to work with? Maybe a little speech?
Phil.
Here we go. Describe yourself in maybe one to two sentences.
Phil, do you love yourself?
I do.
Phil, describe to me in single words only the good thing that comes to your mind when you think about your mother.
Phil, do you love yourself somewhere other than the bathroom?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay. Why do you love Phil?
That's kind of personal.
No, I said why, not how.
Not when.
Not where. I said why.
Why do I love myself?
Well, I'm
very interesting. I define myself as the definitive Phil. All others are made after me.
Okay, so there are many Phils in the world, but you are the Phil, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, I can accept that.
All right, just like there are many, for example, within South America, you have many Jesuses and such, but there was really only one Jesus, right?
Right.
And the same way, there's only one.
There's only one me.
There's only one Phil.
I am an archetype.
All right. Adam, why do you like Phil?
Phil's a man of action. Phil's a man who gets things done.
I get stuff done.
You know, I have to agree with that, because in RPGs, I'm a big fan in the RP part, the role-playing part. I like the discussion. I like the interaction. But as a game master, far too many times, I have seen my players get so caught up in planning where, like, they're trying to do something, and it's just like they talk and talk and plan.
Well, 20 minutes in, after this condition, this condition, yes, this condition, this condition, this condition, this might also happen.
Oh,
let's plan
on
for it.
If by 20 minutes, if by 20 minutes.
I mean 20 minutes into the action.
I mean, I have seen them literally sit there for 2 hours.
That is atrocious.
Planning an action. And usually by this point, Mike and Tim have descended into bickering.
This is what I'm going to.
That, yes.
Sometimes you will have two people who fancy themselves the decider.
And finally, one guy says, bleep it, I'm taking my gun and running through the door.
Oh, usually you have a played a game with Phil.
And
this guy is trapped in the hospital. Let's plan to get him out. The guy who's trapped in the hospital is staring off into space for 45 minutes. The planners. Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to steal an ambulance and put on uniforms. And then we're going to try and pass ourselves off as orderlies. And while they're making these complex plans, Phil gets into the car, drives the car into the hospital.
Into the hospital.
Not the parking lot.
Into the wall.
Through the
wall. Knocks the wall down.
Like, right.
Gets out. Picks up the injured person, puts them in the ambulance.
We're talking roughly, like,
rips them out of their IVs and right, their breathing machine and their feeding tube.
Drives
them in the back seat.
Drives into the hospital like an 85-year-old man at a state fair, okay?
Yes, just, exactly.
Just plows straight into the hospital.
Gets back. The other two are still planning. I got him.
What?
I couldn't help it. You know, it's like...
best defense ever.
It goes back to me being lazy. It.
You had that advantage.
Yeah, you took that advantage. That's an advantage. That's a power gaming advantage.
No, Phil,
I couldn't
Phil,
help
all right, hold on, Phil. Breaking into a hospital is not lazy. It is impatient.
No, yes. It's all that talking that has to be done for the planning.
Yes, that's impatient.
That's impatient.
The lazy would be, you guys work on this, I'm going to go sleep on the couch. That's lazy.
Yes.
I'm going to take my car and drive it into the hospital. That's not laziness.
Impatience, however,
but
implies
less
negativity.
Work. I'm doing less work. I'm not opening the doors.
Maybe as a player,
to...
you're doing less work.
Oh,
I'm not going to talk to anybody.
No, that's what drags just... my RPGs down is door opening.
I'm just
I take
driving
that skill
in
every game
and grabbing and going. It's very simple.
Let's not say impatient because that is a negative connotation.
Okay.
Let's say man of action.
Proactive.
Proactive.
Proactive. The Phil is not reactive. Phil is proactive.
Indeed.
Right.
What else is Phil?
For example, if Phil was running for president, most presidents figure out how to deal with Congress. Phil would just figure out how to blow up Congress.
Get rid of them.
Right. Exactly.
Cut out the middleman.
All they do is sit around and talk and do nothing and just make you pay more money.
Essentially,
get rid of them.
Essentially,
so you're
an efficiency analyst.
Yes.
Okay. What else can we describe?
But I'm
Phil
better
as?
Than an efficiency analyst. They only tell you what you need to do. I will do what I...
You.
Yes.
Even if you don't necessarily agree that you need to do it.
Right. I'll go and do it.
Feels like a strong father.
Mm,
goes right in and
Phil,
does it.
I also have to say that when you grow your beard big and thick, you look like one of two historical figures.
Is one Hammurabi because it needs to be?
The consistent
one
opinion... The consistent opinion across the group is that when you grow that big square beard, you look like Hammurabi.
Agree.
Now, I disagree with that. I think you look like Rasputin, which is probably far more negative than you look like Hammurabi.
Right.
But nonetheless, the first time I saw you with that beard, I had just gotten done playing Shadow Hearts Covenant, and I'm like, holy crap, it's Rasputin. Because after playing the game, I'd gone out and done some research on the real Rasputin just out of curiosity.
Listen to that biographical disco song they released a while back.
No, I did not.
Oh, darn.
And looked at some pictures of Rasputin, and I was really, really worried that you were going to start trying to create some cult of sexual healing after I saw you.
Phil, I think it's fitting that you look like Hammurabi, because where he's credited with beginning the institution of law and order and rules,
Phil ends
you'll
it.
Be credited with ending it.
Yeah, just like, you know, you have the first Adam and the last Adam. You have the first Hammurabi and the last Hammurabi.
Yes.
With one to begin law and one to end law. One to create order in society and another to drive a car into a hospital.
Let me toss out there expertise.
Okay.
Go that was on. It.
Dead silence.
That's it.
That's well, wasn't a meaty topic.
Well,
that's a great.
Let me deliver a stirring point.
Adam, if this was a Word of the Day podcast, I'd be really proud of you right
Win.
Now.
No.
Expertise, noun.
I'm going to toss out.
Phil has expertise in.
They're
blowing stuff up.
No, it's
weird.
It's a more subtle context than that.
Okay.
Phil, when we play Battletech,
he blows stuff up subtly.
Phil has no concept of the larger picture. That's fine. But Phil will look at the map and say, this hex, he doesn't even need to look at it for very long. This hex will give me the best cover to shoot at everything. It's like instinct. His hand just reaches and moves.
So, if min-maxing is a negative connotation, we would say that Phil is an expert mathematician or perhaps a gaming
strategist.
A gaming accountant. No, that'd be a tactician.
Oh. I think that Phil has great battle instinct.
Okay. Give me an example.
One time a GM threw 10,000 pounds of poop at Phil and he still didn't die. That time was called every game session I've ever played.
I can't give you a good example. Phil, give me an example.
How about
talking enough.
I'm not believing this until I hear.
How about I faced you, Don, Chad, and I forget who else it was, versus me in Battletech.
What are you talking about?
In Battletech. It was you three versus me in Battletech.
Did you have four mechs?
I had three mechs.
They had
and
three?
They had four.
Oh. I don't remember when this happened.
And
I must not have been there.
You won anyway? Is that where we're going with this?
I lost.
You lost? And this proves you have great battle instinct. You lost.
But I was hungover from a three-day hangover.
What?
And I was not fed.
This is the battle instinct I'm talking about. No,
this is not battle instinct.
Yeah, this is the battle instinct that says this man will walk into any argument
this
whatsoever.
Is the, no, no.
This, boldly state his position
yeah.
that completely contradicts his argument.
This, yeah,
and look at you. He has won.
This is Charge of the Light Brigade.
Precisely.
That's more into the breed.
That's not admirable.
It's admirable.
It's brave, but it's also dumb.
Let's go with brave then.
Okay, fine. Phil, that's very brave of you to take on vastly superior enemies and lose.
Hey, it was heroic.
What, who was it that said, I want to say it was Patton that said that you don't win wars by dying for your country.
That was Patton.
You win wars by
at
making...
At least recently, I think it's been said before him.
Yeah, you win wars by making some other
bleep-bleep
die
yeah.
for his country. It was either Patton or MacArthur, I forget which.
Patton. I watched the
Patton
movie.
Patton said it in a movie.
I think he actually said it real. Well, I thought he did say it real.
Yeah, I think he did,
It's a real quote.
Well, that opening speech, which it was in, was actually delivered in a much more obscene form.
All right. Now, Phil, I will also have to say that you are a good costumer. That, for example, at Archon last year, Stargate costume.
Your RDA costume.
Thank you.
Your Stargate costume. No, an RDA costume.
Phil, one year I'm out of the country for Archon and you don't put your pirate outfit back on.
This is true.
His yep. pirate costume?
Have you seen his pirate costume?
Phil's got
where he goes as Captain
costume.
Morgan?
No. No, I haven't.
He's got this full pirate costume that he dresses up. He looks just like Captain Morgan.
I can't hear the word pirate without hearing the word butt, so I'm not sure I want to see this
oh my.
Costume.
I think I have a picture of it at home. I can.
I made Phil a button at the Archon. We went to Applebee's and had the captain for president.
I
stole the coaster and I made it into a button for him.
No, that was funny. That was in 05.
Phil, we have endlessly made fun of you on all these episodes. Do you have anything you can say in your own defense? Anything you can say?
Do you
want to
make fun of us? I mean, go ahead.
Yeah.
John and Jan are wide open.
Do you want to throw down the gauntlet here and pick on one of us?
Adam, you get caught all the time.
Oh, what's even
I have to come save your butt all the time.
Are we talking in RPGs or out of RPGs?
Oh, in RPGs.
Oh,
out of RPGs.
I was hoping for a salacious story here.
No.
No.
Adam's car is usually messy.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
No, it's clean now.
It's clean now. But
it's messy. It's not necessarily salacious.
You didn't clean it for him.
No, I didn't.
All right.
I really don't get like dirt on
all right,
people.
Well, let's give Phil some chances.
I know that I am only empowered by John for our Phil John coalition.
That's true. You can't insult the PJC.
Right.
How does that work?
I'm not even sure, but whenever we play Mario Kart, we kick everyone's butt.
Really?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me tell you the story.
Let me give you a guess
PJC.
Who the gunner is and who the driver is.
Let me tell you the story about this stupid PJC. Okay. Mario Kart for the Cube, Double Dash. We're trying to beat the final, the highest level. We have three controllers. That means I'm playing two people on my cart. They're on a team.
Okay.
And so they're both on their cart.
Okay.
So we get down to the last thing. They have to take first this game. And it is neck and neck, this last track. They're coming up on the end, and I shoot a red turtle shell, hit them, and knock them over the end. And of course,
over the cart.
Yeah, over the other car, and all over the goal.
Into the finish line.
So you guys saw the Phil John Coalition.
No, absolutely. We were victorious.
It was terrible. And then I had to listen all night. And
you talked about Phil's battle prowess and how he can claim victory for practically anything.
I know!
I just looked to his example and imitated.
This is one of the reasons why outside of family badminton games, I don't ever talk trash until after the fact.
You know, badminton is played with a shuttlecock.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Which,
just putting that on the table.
I know. And shuttlecock. Yeah, I am aware of what it's played with. But outside of family, because our family plays badminton every so often, outside of that, I do not talk trash in any game. I am quiet. I am reserved. I say nothing. And then at the end of the battle, that's when I flip the table and pee in your face.
Because you don't drink.
See, that's too late for it to be effective because you have to destroy their spirit.
What is it
with
you and golden showers, man? I just heard that like 3 times today.
Hey, man, you're the one talking about loving Phil.
I can't help love myself. I love myself often.
Now, Phil, we told a story about you a while back, and I want to hear the Phil aspect on this. In fact, Tom, who used to work with, thanked us for this story because it was quite salacious about you, that Becky had been telling you.
I'm waiting for Pee Wee Herman to come and scream the next time you say salacious.
Really? Okay. So we drew this Venn diagram of
brilliant,
brilliant, of where the rubber hits the road.
Nuance.
Let me nuance.
It was very nuanced.
But you had this story. Now, your wife Becky, for a while, had been telling you that she wanted to go to your work's Christmas party.
Oh, this story.
Brilliant. Had really been looking forward to this. So one night, you just tell Becky, hey, I'm going out with my friend. I believe it was Dave.
Yes.
For a while. I'll be back later. Don't even tell her where you're going. And you take your best friend instead to this
office Christmas party,
ditching your own wife. Now, I am a firm believer. I'm so glad Carla doesn't listen to this. I'm a firm believer in bros before hoes. But having said that, explain this from your perspective.
There's no hoes here.
Yeah.
It's only bros.
It's just bros. There are no girls that listen to this podcast.
No, not a single one.
Not a single one. So go ahead and explain to us what the logic was here.
Basically, for this party that they threw at the law firm, I had to do a lot of photos and imagery and make a lot of displays.
Okay.
And basically, I needed somebody to print them out. Well, I just didn't want to go to Walgreens and have this printed out cheaply on cheap paper.
Right.
I went to my friend Dave, who went with me. They work at a print shop.
And he brought these printers with him?
No, he printed them out on professional paper with professional
carried the
that.
Paper.
And
he let you draw him.
Yeah, well, basically it turned out to be $3,000 worth of prints.
Oh my god.
And so I'm like, I think they would like to know who did this, so I brought him with so that I could show them this is the guy that.
Why didn't you just tell Becky this?
I told her.
Oh, you did tell her.
Afterward or before?
I did tell her.
I just didn't tell her when
it was.
This was a Phil proactive rather than Phil reactive. And see ya.
She was also at work.
Oh.
Phil, this story's not funny anymore.
Well,
you destroyed it.
Why'd you ask me?
Phil, talk about Ludo.
All right, Phil, what is this Ludo thing you want to talk about?
Ludo was my first, I guess it would be my first min-max character. It's so min-max.
So this is your first character?
Yes. Actually,
everybody,
I think it is.
Everybody, when they look back at the list of characters they've played, has their greats. Those guys that you can recall by name who you're like, man, that was a great character. And Ludo is the first at Phil's list.
All right. So this is Phil's episode. Tell us about Ludo.
Basically, Ludo was an orc. But he, instead of being a medium-sized orc, he was large.
Guess the class.
monk?
Barfighterian Urger Paladin monk.
It was barbarian, but it had a bit of monk in it because he didn't use weapons. He used monk. His fists.
He used his D20 fists.
Ball, the barbarian monk. The most seamless of D&D multi-classes.
The bar monk.
Continue. It gets better.
Okay. I'm listening.
I basically pulled points from one stats and put them into others.
Guess which stats got pulled?
Charisma.
Yes.
Keep
going.
Intelligence.
Probably intelligence
wisdom.
And wisdom.
Yep.
To get put into strength and con.
Strength, con, and dex.
Dex, right. Because he's a monk, so he'll need the dex.
And basically, I think he had 3 intelligence, a 5 wisdom.
You laugh at the number 3, but when he tells you what the number 8 was, you're going to laugh even harder.
Okay.
What was... Oh, the charisma.
No.
What?
8 was the total number of words you could say.
Yes. I listed out what I could say.
What were these 8 words?
Oh, Jesus. I'll try to see if I can remember.
Oh, no. Jesus. I'll see if I can remember. That was 8 words.
Birdie was one of them.
Oh, Jesus. No, I'll see if I can remember. That's
peeps.
8 words.
It was peeps.
It was peeps.
I like peeps.
Yeah, because
peeps.
It went from 7 to 8 because that, peeps was my bird.
That's a useful word. Peeps. I love peeps.
Peeps, no, bad, hot, cold. Shiny.
Jew.
Good.
No, you can't.
And nuanced.
Kill.
I can't remember what the last one was.
Kill. There's a kill, murder, maim, axe.
Clomp.
Punch.
And abstraction. You didn't say that one too often.
And I think it was my own name, Ludo. I think that was the 8th one.
So you're like a Pokemon with a slightly more extended vocabulary.
Ludo, I choose you.
He was the equivalent of Onyx. Yes.
I see.
Magikarp.
I would have seen more of a Hitmonchan.
Now,
from
see,
my
I took disadvantage. I couldn't wear armor.
All right.
It was his disadvantage.
We're going to turn this
because into... I was too stupid how to put it on.
Phil, you are now like a colonel at the Nuremberg trials. Who was the game master?
Chad.
There's one of our
I understand.
Yes.
I understand why he quit the show.
Yes.
If he was here to have to give an accounting for this, I don't think he could do anything but lay on the floor, curl up, and weep. I understand.
He had a door. Ludo had a door.
A door.
This was great.
No.
I think this was awesome. Basically, all this goes for my battle tactics, or whatever you said. Basically, we got to a house, and the door was magically locked. I think this is when you were playing Tulio. You couldn't
continue.
You all right, unlock
okay,
it.
Okay, the door is magically locked.
We couldn't get through it.
Okay.
It was a magic door. The only thing that was magic was the door itself.
So you just tore it off the house?
I tore it off the house.
Damn. Leave it on the ground.
You know, I actually will have to give him kudos for creative problem solving there.
Because the door was invincible, I strapped it to my arm and I carried it around as a shield.
Everywhere.
You know what? Game master oversight.
Yes.
This was a bad, bad choice on behalf of the game master.
And yet, Phil, I applaud you for exploiting it.
I have to give Phil credit. The game master...
This is what I'm talking about, battle tactics. He knows how to screw every situation to his own ends.
Oh, no. This is not min-maxing. This is not system abuse. In this particular situation, the game master did this one to himself.
I agree.
He handed you the gun. All you did was say, thank you, sir, and take it.
Indeed. And in fact, I think he eventually, at the end, he changed it into an actual shield that when somebody would hit it, it had a 10% chance of them exploding.
What?
Yep.
He went back and made it worse?
Yes.
Hey, Hitler, by the way.
Phil, were you playing Munchkin?
No.
Weren't you playing this game with us, John?
No, this was the one before I joined.
No, this was with Paul.
John is seeking therapy for no emotional disorders. He was not in this game.
No, I was not here. Yeah, I was probably about 15 when you guys were playing this game, so I was well beyond it.
There's a reason why John drinks socially rather than at home crying by himself.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, you were in that game.
Unless I was with you guys, then I was drinking socially crying. And by myself on the inside.
Well, we love you.
Thank you.
So, Phil, any big plans for the con season coming up this year? Since you can't come with us to Gen Con, you big wuss.
Well, my wife didn't want to spend an extra $300, so I can't go.
These shoes cost $300.
Do they really?
No.
My shoes cost $100. This setup cost more than $300.
Yeah, I know.
But that didn't stop me. I loved you enough to buy it anyway, Phil.
So 60 episodes after
our relationship means that much to me.
You know what? Not only did he spend all the money on this, but we've worked for a year and 2 months building up a sufficient fan base for your bonus episode.
I know, and my people love me, and I'd have to say, let's see, who else should I thank here?
Well, the Academy, my mom, I like to thank my trainer.
Well, who made the shirt? That was Joey, right?
Yes, Joey.
Joey made the shirt for you. Who made the original graphic, the shirt, the train Zeppelin graphic?
I think that was Zhang, X-I-A-G, is it?
Shang, or how are you?
X-I-A-G.
Yeah,
Shang, I don't know.
He hosts one of the other podcasts.
Yeah, he does, Grim Studios.
There you go.
And he's brought this mispronunciation on himself by having such a weird name.
Yes. But Flaming Penguins took credit for it.
Flaming Penguins. He's
and then side. There's a copyright suit still in Superior
took
Court.
Credit
over this.
For it. Good God, this is like a terrorist attack. Who claims Phil?
I claim myself.
Joanna Hicks.
Okay, yeah, that too.
She's still trying to pawn it off.
Here you go,
Phil. I like your dad.
My dad's
I like
awesome.
Your dad too. I can't wait till your party so I can party with him.
He's my hero, dude.
He's awesome. Never shown up to a party that I've been at.
Well, have you never met him?
No.
Oh my God. No. It's like Phil, only cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is a praise episode. I'm sorry.
No, it's a praise episode. Phil, you do put on some great parties. Well, or at least other people put on great parties at your place.
Yes.
And then you have to clean
I
it up.
I just host them.
I cleaned up one of them, but not
Thank
most
you.
Of them.
And then you go to bed at 8:30.
And I apologize, Phil, for drinking your Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Was that you?
Wait, you drank the sacred PBR?
I couldn't find out. I woke up the next day and like one of them was empty. And I'm like, oh my God. Dude,
Alexander did one of them in, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
No.
I just remember Adam saying, these are off limits because these are the symbol of me and Becky's relationship.
See, how's your symbol beer doing, see, Adam?
Let me
no
tell
one's
you,
touched it because I'm here, Melina.
Is it still in you, your fridge? Wow.
Yeah, let me tell you this story from my perspective. Okay. I've been drinking. All right. Now, partway through this, I am to the point where I'm like, Pabst Blue Ribbon. This is the crappiest beer on the face of the earth. I pick it up. And someone's like, dude, I don't think you're supposed to drink that. At which point I said, why? And someone said, really no reason. They've just been here forever. Like, popped it open. Chug, 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 chug. Nobody told me this was like a symbol of your and Becky's love. Now, first of all, let me tell you that when the symbol of your love is Pabst Blue Ribbon, you're in some serious, serious poop.
Well, it wasn't my choice. It was Adam that said, this is what these are.
What?
Adam's is a can of Bush, I believe, isn't it? Oh, yeah. God, that's not much
what
better.
What the hell is wrong with you people? This is like me going down to some farm with a shovel and a bag, coming back with a road apple, and being like, Carla, this is a symbol of my love for you.
Yeah, but you know what?
Splatter.
Nobody's ever going to drink it out of your fridge. And that's the equivalent of Bush beer anyway. Ooh, Bush is, nasty.
For my 18th, 19th birthday. Is that the point to pick something so crappy no one will ever desecrate?
No, for my 19th birthday, Melina got 120 cans of Bush. All right. I was like, oh, God.
I guess I understand.
Dude, I was around for your 19th birthday.
I was dating a girl years ago, and she had a birthday party for one of her little kids at McDonald's, and they gave us a Hamburglar ring. And I gave her the Hamburglar ring as a sign of my love. And you know what the great thing there is that if she, for example, was on a ship that was waylaid by pirates, they would not cut off her finger to get that Hamburglar ring. So is this the kind of logic behind using like Bush and Pabst Blue Ribbon as symbols of love that thinking no one would go so far as to drink them?
Perhaps. I don't know.
Is this a retroactive bit of logic?
Yes.
Ah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay. All right. Well,
I didn't put too much thought into it.
It doesn't matter. Anyways, your retroactive logic was wrong. I drank the Pabst Blue Ribbon.
You didn't drink my Bush, I don't care.
You bastard.
You know what? Since then I've developed IBS, the two may be related.
Boom.
It's this curse I put on you.
Someday I will find a beautiful girl worth Keystone Light.
Have you seen that?
My brother-in-law, Adam, he's got a family member who's always drinking.
Natty Light.
Natty Light, I think it is.
Natty
no,
Light.
Stag. It's Stag. Stag. Oh, it's Stag. And it's funny because they had some pool party or a party in a lake or something like that, and someone had this Stag floating around, and it accidentally spilled, and they cleared the pool.
At least it's not the Beast.
Nice.
What is the Beast?
Milwaukee's best. It is wretched.
Milwaukee does not have best.
It is the Tarsk of the Beer Monsters Manual. And then it will destroy you.
The Tarascu?
I would even rather... Yeah, the Tarascu. I would even rather drink Old Style.
Tarasque. We need to find out who invented the Tarask and find out how it's properly pronounced.
The Zerg Ultralisk Tarask is spelled with an O instead of an A. That really throws me for a loop.
The what?
The Zerg Hyper Ultralisk is called the Tarask in StarCraft.
Yeah, they rip it off from the Tarask or Tarasque or Tarasque or... Actually, I have these debates with Carl on a regular basis about query and query.
I say query
just because, you know, you can't say query without... it's like an adjective, you know, like, for example, this shirt is query. And so I just can't, you know... I say query.
That's a plain white
like
shirt.
Like Adam used to say.
I don't find anything queer about that shirt.
I'm just giving a for example. And if you did find something queer about the shirt, you'd be pretty hypocritical given the fact that you're wearing a plain white shirt right there. But
actually, I can't take off my overshirt because, I don't know, for some reason...
Your sexiness would explode
the
outward.
The armpits on these are completely blown out, and I'd look like this really dirty Hispanic.
You know, showering would fix that.
Just, no, it just doesn't just do it. Get out of here.
Phil, you shower on a regular basis.
Yes.
That's a compliment.
That's a compliment.
You're ahead of the curve.
A lot of gamers don't do that.
And I really dislike playing with gamers that don't
shower.
Phil,
I would rather stand next to you than go into the Archon game room.
You know, I've played in the Archon game room, and oh my goodness. That's
I don't know how you play in that room, man. That room is disgusting.
That's why I think after, where was it?
Asin, 5 minutes.
After Asin, I'm going to carry a can of deodorant around with me.
I just spray people?
Yes, and if they're going to sit down,
they're
going to
wither
me,
and burn.
You know what's funny?
I'm going to spray them down.
All right. I grew up, of course, child of the 80s, back when roller skating was big. It's kind of coming back around again, but back when roller skating was big. And so we used to, of course, all the time go to like the various roller rinks and we'd roller skate and whatever. So Carla, several years ago, decides that, you know, this was fun. We should all get together, get over ourselves, and do it again just for fun.
She was telling us to do that at dinner tonight.
I know. Well, she does this all the time. But she actually convinced the other circle of friends to go. And one of the guys we went with was this guy who, quite frankly, his hygiene left a lot to be desired. Had some positive qualities. Okay, I'm not sitting here just entirely bashing the guy, but his hygiene left a lot to be desired. And as we were sitting there at the roller rink, these teenage girls or teenage-ish girls skate by him and like hose him down with perfume and then just skate on past. And so he reeked of women's perfume the rest of the night.
That's awesome.
It was like he'd gotten raped by like some 75-year-old church lady.
That's wonderful.
That's
it was hysterical.
The ideas.
That was also the night he fell and ripped his pants wide open, and that was...
Funny
too. Also,
please
humorous.
Tell me there was some sort of secondary layer of fabric.
He was wearing underwear. So
hard print boxers.
I don't recall. Not that I was staring.
Those are mandatory.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I need details.
I think they were white boxers.
White boxers?
I think so.
I don't think I've ever seen white boxers.
I don't. Think
I have
they exist.
White boxers upstairs. And how can
are you talking about white tidy whiteys?
No, white boxers.
White boxers?
Yes.
This isn't
complicated. Hey, they don't exist.
They exist.
Go to any store to the Hanes rack or the Fruit of the Loom rack, and there's white boxers. You people are insane.
True boxers have pictures.
You can see every splash of ass you ever get on it.
I'm
but they
sorry.
Do exist.
My boxers do not have a picture of David Hasselhoff on the cross.
I am wearing
if that's
my,
what you're talking
about. I am wearing my Grinch David boxers Hasselhoff. Right now.
Really?
Yes.
Don't show us.
Yeah, don't show us at all. But I am curious, does it work out such that one part looks like it belongs to somebody else? Is that no. It looks like the Grinch is...
It looks like he's sticking his tongue out.
Like the Grinch is something else grew three sizes.
And turned from black to red.
Or from red to black.
I got it.
It took a minute. Oh, man.
Let's end this.
All right. We need to say one more nice thing about Phil, and then we're going to...
I'm bigger than David Hasselhoff.
In what way and how did you find out?
I am the Lord of the Dance.
Come on.
You what?
I'm the Lord of the Dance.
I had forgotten about that. Phil is the Lord of the Dance. Actually,
he'll beat you all wherever you may be.
All right. Back when we had a WoW guild, and this was not the Fear the Boot one. This was the previous WoW guild. Phil was a part of it, and Phil came to the barbecues. And after we got a beer or two or three in him, we would make Phil do the different racial dances, including like the Night Elf female dance and stuff. And we would videotape them. And we posted them on our guild website, and we entitled them Lord of the Dance.
Yep.
And what was funny is I started doing Googling on Lord of the Dance, and Phil had become this massive hit. These Lord of the Dance videos had become this huge hit on this big stream of German websites. It was really, really bizarre. I have no idea how they found them, but they were circulating like mad over these German language websites. Yep. So Phil is right. He was bigger for a short time than David Hasselhoff.
Not in Germany.
Oh.
Dude, have you ever seen the Germans and their love of Hasselhoff? Go live in Italy sometime. You'll get residual Germans. And they'll bring the Hasselhoff on their bags. Germans.
The ones that haven't left
you'll
since the 1940s.
Collateral Germans.
Collateral splash Germans. So many Germans hit Germany, they just...
Fortunately, those are the kind on the periphery where you can roll to take no damage, and you only take half, even if
especially if you have improved invasion or whatever.
Yes,
so,
improved American surrender.
I do still intend to do a European tour, either with Daniel Perez or with my brother, because he fluently speaks German, because he lived in Germany. But
Europe's cool.
I just don't have any money for that right now, and the money I do have has just gone into my cruise next year, so there we go. Anywho, Phil's wonderful. Phil's great. We'll be back to insulting him in episode 61.
Indeed.
So, for this one moment in time, though, Phil, we love you. Consider this your moment of zen.
Thank you.
And we wouldn't, this show would lose about 5 to 10% of its comedic value if it was not for you.
Yeah.
So, true.
Thank you very much, Phil. You have a great time.
Bye, Phil.
And we
I
will
love
catch
you all.
We will catch the rest of you next time.